Oh, it was in the McCabe Delashment.
And where were you born?
I was born in the Grand.
Where at?
In my grandmother's house.
And where was your grandmother's house located?
It was located on, Birch Street.
And what year? What was the date?
1924, February the 15th.
Oh, you're just a young thing then. And your parents, so your grandparents lived here. How far back does your family go in La Grande?
Well, my grandmother came across the plains.
On a wagon train?
No, in a wagon train. Mm-hmm.
From where?
I think it was in the 1870s or 1880 possibly.
Wait a minute, I can figure it out better than that. She was born in 1867, and so she was 15 when they started across the plains. And she was 16, I guess, by the time they got settled that matter. And so that would have been 67, 77, it would have been 81.
So 1881?
81. 70. She was born in 67. And so it would have been 81 when this...
Wow, yeah. It's a long time ago.
Yeah, I guess. But the older you get, the less long this time
seems.
I'm
sure it seems.
It's, you see, I remember when I was just young, I don't know how old, probably 7 or 8, and my grandmother always decorated the graves on Decoration Day. That had to be done no matter what. Weren't so sick that you couldn't get out of bed, but you did that.
You went and did it?
No. She told me a little bit about the different ones as we went, and where the ones that she was really concerned about was her mother. And she told me this one time that her mother had been dead 16 years.
Wow.
And I said, and you still remember her? Well, I thought 16 years.
Yeah.
It was an awful long time when I was about 7 years old.
It does seem like a long time when you're 7 years old. What did your grandparents do for work?
My grandfather? Well, the grandfather I remember was Ezra Brazel, and he was remarried my grandmother because my blood grandfather died when my mother was about 10 years old. So I really consider Ezra Brazel my grandfather because he was a good grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what counts.
That's right. What did your father do for a living?
He was a farmer.
Farmer?
Mm-hmm.
And where did he farm at?
Farm down the road there. That way.
And did he grow wheat?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And how many siblings did you have? Or do you have?
How many what?
How many brothers and sisters do you have?
I had one sister and one brother.
And are they still living?
Mm-hmm.
That's nice.
Mm-hmm.
And are they still in the area?
My sister is in Estacada and my brother is here.
Well, it's not too bad.
No, it isn't too bad. I did. It would be a lot better if she were here.
So where did you teach school at?
Willowdale.
Now where's that at?
It's over by Hot Lake, about a half mile from Hot Lake.
And was it a one-room schoolroom?
Mm-hmm.
And now did you attend school there also before you taught?
Yes, I attended Island City Grade School. I attended Grand High School, and I attended Eastern Oregon College.
And when did you graduate from the normal school?
What year? Oh my goodness, ask me what year I graduated from high school, I'll tell you that.
What year did you graduate from high school?
1941.
So then you went to college for how many years?
I went to took the teacher training course, which was a 3-year course. Then I went to one summer school because of some things I wanted, but then I didn't finish that because at the time I'd gone to the teacher training and he had the war was over and he got out of the Navy and came back, and so I got married.
So did you teach, though, after you were married?
No, because they eclipsed the Willowdale School. They consolidated here around, a lot of the schools did, after the war. And Willowdale, they closed it down.
And what years did you teach out there?
44 and 45.
So two school years?
No, one school
year. One school year?
It started in 44 and ended in 45.
And how many kids?
I had 7.
Well, it's not a bad group of kids, is it?
It wasn't bad, and they were marvelous kids.
And how old, what age were they first through, how old were they?
Well, I had, they were all in different grades, so I had 7 grades, but actually the oldest girl was in the 8th grade, and I had one in the 7th grade, and one, I guess, the 6th grade, I didn't have one in the 5th grade, and then 4th grade, Betty McMillan, and in the 3rd grade was Doll Martin, and in the 1st grade was Bobby Martin, and you know, there were 2 Keys kids there, and but they weren't there the whole year. And so help me Hannah here, I was thinking about that today, about which grades they were in. And I'm just not absolutely sure.
How did you teach all the different grades at one time? How did you organize your day?
It wasn't as bad as you might think, getting this done, because these 2 older girls, the 7th and 8th graders, were extremely mature kids. They were interested in school, interested in learning, they were interested in books, and about all I had to do was to tell them what to read, and if I tested them on it, why, they comprehended it. I did very little testing because they were really capable kids. I don't suppose you know any people around here very much.
You know, I graduated from college in 99 from Eastern Oregon University, and I moved back to town a year and a half ago, so I'm starting to know a lot of people just because of the jobs that I've held, so.
Well, the 8th grade girl was Ruth Courtright, and there's quite a few of the Courtrights around. Her brother, had Courtright Irrigation up there for years, and I just thought you might have known some of
the last name sounds familiar.
Pardon?
The last name sounds familiar.
Yeah, they are a good family. And she was an excellent student. And then Annabelle Bates was a 7th grader. And now she has a lot of family around, too. And Annabelle lives here over on Bond Lane.
Okay.
And her last name now, though, was Brown, not Bates. And then little boys, the Martin boys, they left this area after that school year was over. Their dad got a job somewhere. You see, the war was just getting over, and there was a lot of moving and a lot of this kind of thing. So I don't know for sure where they are now. Not one time Annabelle knew where they were and told me a little bit about this, but I don't even know that they're still at the same place. I never contacted them. I think I was pretty busy then and just didn't get anything like that done. I was interested enough.
So did most of your kids behave pretty well, or how did you discipline, or did you have any discipline problems?
I didn't have any discipline problems at all. It's just everybody had a good attitude over there. It was completely different than the way it is now. There was none of this nonsense.
Yeah, because you got in big trouble if there was nonsense.
Yeah.
So when did you meet your husband?
Get married.
When did you meet him?
Oh, I met him in high school.
Oh, so you're a local boy.
Yeah, he was a local.
And when did you get married?
As soon as the war was over.
So what year was that?
That was 45.
So you've been married about the same length my grandparents have been.
Who are your grandparents? They here?
Nope, Iowa.
Oh, well, then Iowa. Yeah, I thought maybe they'd come here too.
So what did you do? So when you were married, did you work at all outside the home?
Oh, yes. I worked up at the college for a while. They had a fellow up there that gave the veterans aptitude tests and intelligence tests and so on, so what IQ tests and everything to try to help them go back to school or decide where they would what they were going to do, and then they gave them help, you know, with training and so forth. And so I worked up there some. I liked that. He was a pleasant fellow, my boss, and I that was interesting, to say the least, because all these fellows, you know, they all were happy to be back.
Oh, but they were,
pretty eager to do something.
So how many children did you have?
Three.
Three?
Mm-hmm.
And are they still in the area?
Yes.
Well, that's nice.
Yes, it is. But they figured on going into some kind of, I know there's an awful lot of stuff about this having not, you can't get a job in the area. But what they did was plan that what they could do, that they could get a job in the area. And my older boy, well, my daughter was the oldest, and she took teacher training and did that. And although she was the one that really was gone the most, she was gone for a while because she married a fellow from the Willamette Valley, and she was down there for a while then. But she taught around down there too. But and then my older boy decided that an electrician would, electrical engineer was thought that he figured would be a pretty good deal for getting a job here, because they there was a couple of places they had to have an electrical engineer. One of them was a male, and one of them was of the electric company. And so that's what he put in for when he got out of high school and stuff and started college up here. And so they had a meeting, and they had quite a bunch of boys in there that were interested in this field. And so the speaker told them to look around, because out of this room full of boys, there won't be more than two of you that will make it through the course. And so he said, you might think about which ones it's going to be. And I asked Billy if that scared him, and he said, no, not really, because he thought that it entails a lot of math and stuff like that, and he could sure do that.
Good.
So he went ahead and he finished, but it was true that most of them dropped out at some point.
That's cool.
That was kind of interesting. Of course, he had to finish up down to Oregon State because he couldn't get it here when he needed that for the first year or two.
So let's go back to your childhood a little bit. Where did you grow up in town? Did you grow up on the farm or?
On the farm.
And where was the farm was located where again?
Where is it located?
Mm-hmm.
It's located about a quarter of a mile. Well, if you go down here, just past that house right there, was in the farm where I was raised.
Is it still in your family, or has it been?
Yes.
And who owns it now?
My brother lives on it, and my brother and my sister own it.
So tell me about high school. Did you play any sports, or?
It was during, it was a college. It was mostly during the war. No, I didn't, because we lived out there. We had did not, at that time, there was no electricity in this whole area.
Mm-hmm.
And the people in town had electricity, but we didn't. And we had a car then, but the farm is a demanding thing, and there just wasn't facilities to stay after school for part of the kids to stay after school. There, all three of us were in school, you see, by that time, and she had to make the pickups. There were no school buses, And it was 6 miles or so to town. It's too far for a kid to walk.
Yeah.
Not but there was some one family that lived down here where they did walk. And I know that my father really, that was hard on him, because he just thought that was terrible, but in some of the weather. And he tried to time some bar rides so that they could take them too. But that couldn't always be done, and their father wasn't particularly cooperative on that. He, I guess, thought that it didn't hurt the kid. And then their oldest boy, who was quite a little bit older than I was, walked to college.
Wow.
And that was really terrible. And I, after he got out of college, I didn't know what he did. There was no follow-up on him. His folks had moved away. But a younger brother that I had was in my grade at school, I saw in later years, and he said that this brother was killed when he was in his 20s in a car wreck. Somebody ran into him and killed him. So that was really sad after all that effort that fellow made.
All that walking.
Uh-huh.
What type of classes did you take at the high school?
What kind of classes?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, mostly office practice type of things. Typing and shorthand and
that type of thing.
Yes.
And you attended the old high school that's no longer standing?
Oh, it was the old high school, yes.
Where the middle school currently is that right?
Well, yes. The building was not the middle school
mm-hmm.
building, needless to say, but... Mm-hmm.
So you worked on the farm during high school, so you didn't have any jobs outside the farm?
Well, during high school, no, I didn't. Because there's been one thing, the way particularly to get to town
mm-hmm.
for it. You see, when I was born, I told you there's no electricity out here.
How about running water?
We did not have running water, absolutely not. No electricity, no running water. We pumped the water for the house. We had a gas engine and what they called a jack that they put on the pump to pump the water for the cattle and to water the garden. But there was no running water in the house. And there wasn't any place in this neighborhood except in this house across the road from us here. And a family named Bailey lived there. And they had both worked and got saved a little money, apparently, and got married a little later. They were not young when they moved there, and they bought a Delco plant, and so they had electricity, they had electric light, and they had running water, and they had a bathroom, and nobody else had a bathroom. Everybody else had a tin bathtub that they bought out on Saturday night, but we were more fortunate because we had a grandmother that lived in town that had a bathroom. And we went in there for our baths, if possible. Now, that doesn't mean we never used a tin one, but then it was more fun at Grandma's, I tell you.
More fun to go to Grandma's and take a bath. I can see that.
I remember the first car that we got. Now, I was so young that I really shouldn't be able to remember it, but I do because my mother took my picture standing by that car. And I can remember about that because she told me she's going to take my picture. And she had not taken any pictures much. I think she must have just got the camera. It was an old Kodak Brownie camera. And I didn't know what taking a picture meant. I was pretty awful young. I was probably about 2 years old. So she made some attempts to tell me, but not too much. I guess she decided that was hopeless. And so I remember standing by that car, and I was supposed to hold still, and I had to be careful and not step in the mud, because we were going to get in the car after she'd taken the picture and go to town, and she didn't want any mud in the car. And so I remember that, because this was most unusual, and that car was new, of course.
Mm-hmm.
No, you weren't doing anything like that. It was an old Maxwell.
look at it.
Side curtains.
Did they have the punch transmission?
Of what?
My great grandma had an old Studebaker, and my mom used to tell stories about the transmission being a punch one, basically, and you'd punch it into reverse. She tells the wildest stories. My grandma has come tearing out of that garage.
Well, I don't know about that part. I wasn't much of a mechanic, I'll tell you.
Well, it doesn't sound like my great-grandma was much of a driver, so.
Yeah.
So what were your daily chores around the house or around the farm as a child?
My chores?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness. Well, there were plenty of those. This was towards during the war that we tried to help my dad with the haying. But that's pretty tough work. And he was not a slave driver because he figured that you didn't have your kids to do the work, but you had to get by. And so we tried to load the wagons and so forth, but I don't think it was very much help. And I know I have a picture of my grandfather out there helping him during the war, and my grandfather had, that wasn't during the war, that was during the Depression, when things were so bad. The granddad was out there and he took that picture, and I was ahead of the war. But he had a wooden leg because he'd worked on the railroad, and he'd had some kind of a mishap on the railroad, and he took his leg off and at the knee about, and so he had this wooden leg that he wore, so he wasn't. He didn't run any races or anything. It was different than now, where they have such good legs for him.
Mm-hmm.
But he was trying to help out. And of course, he had more muscles than I did. But what we did, goodness, we cooked the meals for the combine crews and things like that. And I certainly helped with that. I was the official cake baker from the time I was about 10 years old, and I had that to do, and I continued, I guess. My mother, she didn't have time to do all that by the time that she lived in the kind of conditions we did. If she'd have washed, she'd have had to done it with the washboard and so forth, but what my grandmother had a washing machine, electric washing machine. And we'd go to the grandma's once a week and wash and do the washing, and that worked fine. Now, I don't know what the other women in the neighborhood did. I presume that they did the hand time. They may have had gas ones, I don't know. They could have, but it seems like I would have seen them if they had them. So I don't think there were very many of them had them.
So you were the chief cake maker, huh?
Well, I was the chief cake maker, and my sister and I herded the sheep. This was during the Depression, too. And we herded them with the a horse and buggy because, that was more fun. I guess we could have just used the saddle horses, but I liked playing with the horses, and so we had a old mare that we hitched up to the buggy, and we'd go down to the pasture with the sheep every day, and we took our books along, and we read, and guarded the sheep. And this was, this was a job we didn't mind at all, because it gave us a good chance to read without being bothered with any chores at the house, and it was kind of nice. But I remember one day when we'd been reading, we had some pretty good books that we were reading, and we looked up and the sheep were gone. They disappeared. Now, this was brushy around in that pasture, a lot of bushes, and so we dashed around those bushes looking for those sheep, and we couldn't find them for quite a little bit, and so we really were worried because over in the neighbors, they joined us there, the Pierces, some of them. There was a Pierce that was governor just ahead of that, and it was his brother, I think, that had this land. And he had a bunch of hogs, and then he decided that, I guess he wasn't interested in that, and he turned them out. Well, just fend for themselves. And they turn into wild pigs is what it amounts to. And there were some old boars in there and so forth, that if we saw any sign or heard of them, we were supposed to head for the house, because they'd attacked people. And they really were a hazard. And my dad was, didn't want us having any confrontations with them, because he figured that, well, they had killed people on occasion.
Yeah.
So that was pretty serious, losing the sheep, because they could have got in with them, we didn't know what. But what they'd done was, I guess that they got their tummies full and they headed back to the barn.
They were done, huh?
And they were back at the barn, so we raced in there and hoped that nobody had seen it. But my dad was pretty reasonable about things. He kind of knew how things were. He didn't have anything particular to say about it, except that we'd better keep our eyes open a little better.
So when it came to buying what you needed in town, did you go, was there a grocery store or a dry goods store that you went to?
Yeah, we went to Piggly Wiggly's grocery store.
I didn't know we had a Piggly Wiggly's.
Yeah, they did. They have it. They're right across from Goss's garage. And what is in there now? I'm not real sure what's in there.
They're used cars.
Yeah,
I guess it's all used cars, even where those windows are. Well, that's the same building that Piggly Wiggly's is in. And Anderson, let's see, Anderson and Price, the two fellows that owned that store and ran it. And Anderson's son was ultimately the DA in the Grand. But we had him for DA for a long time. But yeah, that's where we did our grocery shopping. And I don't really know why my mother went there all the time, but that was her choice of the store.
And did you do a lot of canning and raising your own meat, that type of thing?
Oh, we raised all of our own meat and that kind of thing, yes.
And you canned?
And yes, well, yes, we canned, definitely.
Mm-hmm. So then you just bought dry goods and that type of thing at the grocery store?
The dry goods, it wasn't, the grocery store was just groceries only. The dry goods stores were, they had Falk's and they had Stevens. And for some reason we did quite a lot of buying at Stevens, I think. I remember, well, at Falk's too, but Falk's was there later. Stevens finally closed up. I don't really know why. Anyway, yes, we did. We bought everything locally, that's for sure.
How has grocery shopping changed over the years?
How have groceries changed? Well, I noticed when you get one of those nice big stores like Safeway, abandoned their old one and got the built this one, that the grocery prices have almost doubled in there.
So yeah, definitely the prices have gone up.
Well, they definitely have gone up, yes. I think that beats all.
So were you involved with a church at all?
Did we? Yeah. We went to Sunday school. My sister and I stayed all night with my grandmother every Saturday night, and she took us to Sunday school on Sunday.
Which church did you attend?
Methodist.
Okay. Is that the one on, is it the same one that's on 4th Street?
Mm-hmm.
That big one?
Yeah,
beautiful church.
Yeah, we went there. We went to the railroad. She would have lived on the other side of the tracks, so we went over what we called the viaduct, which was a big wooden structure with steps up one side and down the other. But you couldn't know anything about that because that's been gone for years. But we just loved walking over that. My grandmother wasn't so crazy about it, but there's all those steps, you know, and for an older person that was
a lot of steps.
We really enjoyed that. We had plenty to do at home too during the week. You were asking about, you know, what we did with the work. The Blue Mountain Creamery, when they made butter, they sold the buttermilk then. There was no market for it for anyplace else, I guess. No, well, people did drink buttermilk then, but they didn't, I don't believe they had it in the stores, but I don't swear to that. But they'd sell it in 10-gallon cans for not very much at all. And my mother would go in on the days that they turned and bring home a pickup of a load of that buttermilk for the hogs. And my dad raised those pigs, and that buttermilk was a great asset for their diet.
Great fattener.
Yeah, it really was good for them and worked fine.
So when you were raising your family, did you attend a church in town?
Did
you attend a church in town?
No, they did not go to church. Life was hard on the farm in those days, and those men worked a long, hard day. And let me tell you, the women did too. When you pumped your water, and when you did all of these, and you had kerosene lamps to keep up, and so forth. That if the mother's going to get it all done, the kids have to help, and we helped. And things like going in after that buttermilk was quite a timing. It's shorter mornings, and I remember when the harvest men were there, starting the dinners when I was 11, 12 years old, having dinner started when Mom got back from the creamery. Looking back on it, I don't know how she managed when she had the crew to cook for. It wasn't easy, I'm sure of that, but I'd have some of it done, like the potatoes peeled and that.
The cake made.
And the cake made, yes. That's right. And then on the side, by that time, I was doing a lot of fooling around with the horses, and I trained them. Well, we talked about how we lived there. The farm was heated with a wood stove. See, I wrote a bunch of things that you don't really just think of all this when you sit down. You have to write it down when you think
about it.
But in the living room, and of course we had the cook stove in the kitchen. And one time, some town boy, in the winter time, he got stuck in the snow, and so he came in, and we had a telephone at that time. We had telephones, but no other conveniences. And he called for his folks to come get him. And he was, he absolutely was flabbergasted at this wood stove. We heated the house with the wood stove, and it was really funny. And then the cook stove, we had the reservoir on one side for hot water. You know how stoves are, I imagine. And anyway, he'd never seen anything like this. And of course, what he didn't know was things like that we heated the irons on that stove in the winter time and wrapped them and warmed the bed with them, put them at our feet when we went to bed.
That's what I need.
Because the bedrooms weren't heated. Yeah, dear. And then in the winter, in the mornings when it was cold, you dressed by the stove.
And did you wear dresses or were you in pants?
We wore dresses.
And did you wear the petticoats and everything underneath them?
No, I missed that. Just by a few years, I have. Well, they were just wearing dresses by the time that I got there, and not the long petticoats. I have some pictures of Island City School, where my aunt was going there when she was, and when they had the petticoats and so forth. But that change came along in there. There's been an awful lot of rather tremendous changes.
A lot of changes.
I have some pictures, too, of the kids in Island City School that are kind of interesting. But now I wrote down some of those changes. I thought about that.
Okay.
That this color highway down here has changed from a dirt road to a gravel road and now pavement.
And how long ago was it paved? Do you remember?
It was paved when I was relatively young, but I remember one time before I started to school, well before, so probably I was about 4 years old, riding into Island City with the wagon and loaded grain with my dad, and he had a team pulling it, and it was a dirt road then, because it was a little bit muddy, and when he came to a place where there was a little water, he was a little nervous about it, because he had his good team on the wagon. He thought that he'd make it all right through it, but it was quite a load for him, and so he chose the best team to pull it in there, and we made it all right. And it was not probably too long after that that they finally graveled it, and that was a big deal. And then, of course, when they paved it, this was getting up in the, I know it was in the late 30s, it must have been, when they paved it. When they paved it.
Must have been.
Yeah.
It was paved when after the war was over. It was already paved.
You think it was after the war? It was paved when the war was over. Yeah.
Before the war.
Yeah, it was before the war was over, but I don't know just what year.
No.
It wasn't during the war, I'm sure of that, because there wasn't much of that going on.
Not a lot got done.
Because we really, things were, you were back to essentials during the war. There was no kidding that things were rationed and you did without, and I know it didn't compare with some of those countries what they went through when they were occupied,
mm-hmm.
but nonetheless, you really watched all your P's and Q's.
How did the Great Depression affect your family?
Well, the way it affected our family and a good many of my friends that I've talked to is that the focus of things the whole year was to save enough money to pay the taxes, because if you got behind on the taxes, then the property taxes, then the sheriff would sell your farm. And this was the nightmare that the farmers all had, and all of them had this problem to a great extent. I know I heard some stories. Well, Burr was telling us about, what was his name over here by Hot Lake, that his father-in-law had all these horses, and he just quit farming and put up enough hay to feed the horses. Was the story that Burr was telling this long after the Depression, but that there wasn't enough money in wheat, they weren't paying anything for it, to go ahead and do it. Well, if he did this, I don't know how he could have paid these taxes. That's the only thing I don't understand about it. And I know that so many of them, well, Wilford said that with his folks, that was the focus. And just these farmers that are actually well-to-do farmers around here now, a lot of them grew up with that was the thing. Because the first time I ever said anything about that, I figured my folks were the only ones that worried about that. I found out that that was everybody's concern. And I know that along toward the, it must have been, maybe the war had started, I'm not sure, but along the very late 30s, a banker came out one day and wanted to see my dad. And we didn't, this was quite a thing. It really set you up as to what the banker came out to see him about. And what he came to see him about was if he would be interested in buying this farm across the road here from us, that Bailey was in trouble. Now, they're the ones that have the Delco.
And electricity.
And electricity from the Delco. However, that Delco, I'm diverting myself a little bit here, but that was, my dad wouldn't have considered the Delco, even if he had the money for it, because that Delco was broke down about half the time. And he figured that he wasn't going to saddle himself ever with a mess like that. That they had an awful time with that Delco. But anyway, by that time, they were about to lose their farm. And plenty of people around had lost their farm, but the banker thought that since it joined my dad,
mm-hmm.
that he probably would like to buy it. And so he says, well, does Sam know that you're selling it? And he said, no. And he says, he doesn't want to sell it. And the banker said, no. And he said, well, then I'm not going to buy anything out from under my neighbor. And so he said, just forget it. So he never bought the farm. But here later, well, I'm not sure what year, that the kids, the old folks, had died. And the kids inherited the farm, and by that time, well, Mrs. Bailey had died ahead of that. And Mr. Bailey got married again. And of course, the Baileys had two kids. And then the new wife had two kids that were of a similar age. And so the farm went to those four kids. And so they called us up and asked them if we wanted to buy the farm. And so, well, we knew all the kids, of course, and so we said yes, that we'd be interested in buying the farm. So we made the deal that day and bought the farm. Actually, we didn't buy it. Our two kids, our daughter and our oldest son, bought it. They went together on it because land was quite a lot more expensive by that time than it was during the Depression. That was long. Let's see, when did they die? It was much later than that. I could look that up because I have her funeral.
So whose farm was this originally? Was it your? Whose farm are we sitting on right now originally?
It was originally
John Schroeder.
John Schroeder. You know, heard of him.
The Schroeder sounds familiar.
Yeah.
So did you buy the farm together then? Did you purchase the farm?
My father purchased
your
the farm.
Your father, okay.
And when we got married, he was getting older then, and he did not want to farm it. And we lived for the first year that we were married over on Pierce. We rented a house there from Holman's and lived there. But well, my dad had, ahead of this, bought a farm that Arnaldus has now across Pierce toward the river. And so John Schroeder bought this, the land adjoining that. And so he kind of wanted all these land together. And my dad, there was a house on the land that my dad had bought, and John Schroeder wanted that farm, but my dad wouldn't let go of it because it had the house on it, and he figured that he'd get us moved into that house because Bill thought he wanted to farm, and he figured then he'd be in a place where he had a chance to get started. So when Schroeder wanted to trade with him then, about, well, just before that he traded, why, some other, a farmer had set some stubble on fire, and the wind came up, and it took that fire and burned out quite an area, a lot of fields around, and it burned that house that my dad was going to, thought that we could live in. So anyway, they traded farms because both had different reasons for wanting to trade, but because it joined John, and he wanted that one, and my dad wanted this one because it had the house again. And so they traded, and we moved here. And my dad, like I said, was we farmed this place then, and ultimately, why? Well, part of it belongs to my sister, and part of it belongs to us. When they died, they left it to us. But so, and then since then, we bought some other land around quite a bit. It was actually, we were in a good era, I guess, born in the right time, you know, to come along to do this, except that nobody there after the war wanted to part with land, and there was very little land marketed because, well, nobody wanted to sell. Eventually, for one reason or another, we acquired several other farms around.
And where are your parents buried at? Which cemetery? Where are your folks buried?
At Island City.
Island City Cemetery?
Mm-hmm.
Is that where all your family is, your great-grandparents?
My great-grandmother is there, and I have an uncle that is there. Well, I have two uncles that are there, and an aunt.
Lou Snyder there?
Yeah, my grandfather's there. And that is my blood grandfather is there. And my grandmother and the folks are all there. But then my other grandfather, he's in the cemetery uptown, the one up, what's the name of it? It's in Grandview. That's the one clear up on the hill.
The one kind of by the university?
The one across from the college.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Is that Grand?
I don't know for sure
what
Grandview it's called.
I think Grandview is up on the, the hill further. But my grandfather's the one that... is on 12th Street, I believe it is. It's on.
You've had
the one I call grandfather, but he had a daughter that was buried there, and so they buried him with her. But they had the lot, and I think the other daughter wanted to have them together, so that's what they did.
You've had quite the life.
Yes, quite a life. I
seen a lot of changes, haven't you?
A lot of changes, I'll say.
How much has the town changed? How much has LeGrand changed since you were a child?
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, where do we start, huh?
Yeah, where do we start?
Turned into a jungle since.
Yes, and Island City too.
Oh.
It just changed so much. You knew everybody in Island City. Few years ago, but not anymore.
Yeah, between Island City and LeGrand is a jungle now. Anything but old cheap grass and cow pastures. $3 an acre you'd buy land for.
Wow. Do you know what it's worth? I wonder what it's worth now.
Oh, man, I don't know. It was $100,000 for the business.
You know, we were talking about the... depression and the things that went on then. Another thing that went on during the depression was the Dust Bowl back in the Midwest.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a lot of those people came to Island City for some reason. Now, maybe more of them came to LeGrand than what I knew about, but they were as quite a lot of the kids at Island City School that were Dust Bowler kids. Now, this was quite a thing, too. It was a pitiful thing. They really did come out in those old cars.
Really?
And they had nothing except what was in that car. And you know, there was couldn't be much more than a change of clothes for all of them in the car. And those men and those families were farmers, and they didn't have any particular training in anything else, and they came out and wanted jobs on the farm. And I know my dad hired some of them in haying and so forth, and I remember hearing him tell this one fellow that was came out and wanted a job that he would be glad to hire him, but he could not afford to pay more than $1 a day. And he said, I'm ashamed to offer a man that has two boys, and he had two kids at home, that a wage like that, it's not a livable wage. And so what Mr. Brown said was that he'd be happy to have that $1 a day, that they could have something to eat on that, and it was... a lot better than the way they were getting along. And so he worked for my dad that summer. And this really bothered my dad. Those two boys, I knew them then, and their kids went to school with our kids, some of them. One of them had a set of twin boys, and I know one of our boys came home one day and said they'd gone down to get their drivers, Lyle and, let's see, what was the other one's name? Lyle and, wasn't Leal. Anyway, they went down to take the driver's test, and one of them passed, and one of them didn't. And I thought that was such a pity, those boys, you know, when they were twins, and what, I don't know. And my son was feeling bad about it because he said the one that failed needed the boost, the little ego builder. He didn't need to be turned down like that. And he thought that the other one was a lot more sure of himself, the one that got him. Probably that's why he passed.
Yes, probably.
But things like that aren't too nice. I think teachers and all these people like the driver testing fellows ought to take some of these things into consideration a little bit. I think if the teachers would try to teach a little tolerance among the kids. Mm-hmm. I always tried to teach mine a little tolerance for the kid that had had a bad time.
Yeah, wasn't as fortunate.
Yes, and I think that would make a lot of difference in the world. But and I do know a few teachers that do that,
mm-hmm.
but they're in the minority.
Yeah.
They don't teach them this at school. They never said anything about anything like that in my teacher training, and I don't think that they've improved any in that department since.
So I've been out of school for a long time, it seems like. Do you remember Chinatown down at the end where the old Safeway was?
Yes.
What do you remember about it?
Well, I remember the buildings were kind of ramshackle looking. And I remember that you knew very well when you went to town, you didn't go down around that because my mother didn't exactly trust the area.
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't know whether this was justified or not. I tend to doubt if it was very dangerous because of the way the Chinese were treated.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that they would have got very far out of line. But of course they did smoke some of this stuff that maybe would cause a little trouble. I just don't know. But I know that people really were terribly inconsiderate of and of course I do know a little, just stories, but about the dreadful way they killed those Chinamen when, rather than paying them when they got through with them.
And that happened here in town?
No, up toward Enterprise, or the stories that I know about are.
Up the river where the gold mine was, they were supposed to, they shut the gold mine down, so when the Chinaman went to work, well, they blasted the shaft.
Oh, God.
It's just beyond belief that it's completely uncivilized.
Times have changed a little bit for the better there, at least.
So were there a lot of Negroes in town? Any African? Do you remember any African Americans?
There were very few. There were none that went to school with me. My sister was 4 years younger than I was, and there really was a neat boy that went to school when she did. In fact, he was such a neat guy that here they had a reunion. Oh gosh, it's been probably 10 years ago now of her class, but she couldn't make it. And who was it came out and was telling us about that? And that Terry had made a picture book of the class of the then, and he got pictures of all of them that he could now. And I thought, oh, she would so love to have that. And I said, are you going to see him again? Find out how much it is and order one for me because I'll get it for him.
Mm-hmm.
And so he told him that. And, you know, the boy said, well, here, I'm going to give her one, and to take it out to her. And now, that, you see, by that time, I think they were being quite a bit better, maybe, mm-hmm. to him. But anyway, he was a fine fellow, I'll say that. And he was a teacher. He became a teacher himself, and I really can't give you a history of what all he did. Fern would know more about that than I do. But he was a real good guy. And I think that with my kids, the time they were there, I don't think that there was very much discrimination based on that.
Okay.
There were some here that were like the Trice kid, and this, the Trice kids, I should say, because this Trice seemed to have a kid every year. And that part, you know, that causes a certain mm-hmm. amount of discrimination, because you get kind of tired of that. Really, you shouldn't have all those kids unless you're going to support them decently and give them a chance. If you, as long as you've got money enough to take care of them, why, I guess it's your own business, although I think the population thing is a thing eventually is going to bog everybody down.
Yeah.
But this one boy was our youngest son's age, and he was just as fine a kid as you'd ever find any place, and he was a good friend of my son's, and he, he said to Steve one time, he says, I'll help you in football if you'll help me in that.
That's fair.
Well, that did tickle me. I never told it very much because somebody to take it from that, that this kid was dumb, and I don't think he was dumb at all.
Just need a little help in math.
But he just would like a little help in math, and I can sympathize with that. Math never inspired me particularly.
So when you went to the Eastern Oregon Normal School when you went there?
Right.
It was Eastern Oregon Normal School when you went
yes.
to the college? Mm-hmm. And now, was your class mostly women, or were there men in there also?
It was mostly women. There were two men. One of them wasn't there too long, and I don't even remember what his name was. The other one was Shurevsky, Floyd Shurevsky. And he ended up a teacher, and he taught, and I think I would suspect that he was an excellent teacher. But he left the Grand, so I don't know too much about it. He has a brother that is a carpenter that's still in the Grand and works for Miller's, except the Miller's changed their name to something else now. Ace Hardware, that's what they call themselves, but they're still Miller's, and they build, they work, if you want something in carpentry mm-hmm. done on your house, and they sell windows and hardware and all that stuff.
So when you went to the university, which buildings were up? In low.
Well, I did my practice teaching in Ackerman.
Oh, that's right, because that elementary school was open.
Yes. Uh-huh. And then the office building, what's the office building, main building now?
In low.
Was where the classrooms mostly were.
So just the two buildings on campus then?
Mm-hmm.
And how many students attended school?
Where in my class? You know, I really couldn't tell you. Let me think, because I have an approximation. You know, I really don't know, because we didn't all take the same classes, of course. It was certainly smaller than it is now. But I should remember how many graduated with me, shouldn't I? But I don't. I guess if I didn't really consider that a big deal.
A couple
of them that dropped out I considered quite a big deal. Like one of my best friends got married. She started to college with me, and then she was going with a boy from Malawi, and she decided to get married after a couple of terms, that she didn't really care too much for the college, and he wanted to get married and so forth, so they got married. Well, I took that kind of hard. That was Anna Rose. And she did go ahead and get to be a nurse then later.
Oh, good.
So, and then my other best friend in college, I'll be danged if she didn't quit. Her husband was in the Navy, that was Dora. And so she went to Pensacola. Now, I guess he came up here and they got married. And anyway, she went to Pensacola, Florida with him. And I really felt kind of abandoned.
So during the era you went to college, it was during World War II?
Yeah.
So it was mostly women you were in school with?
Yeah.
Most of the men were off?
Floyd had, that was there, the man that was going, was, I don't know what he had, but he had something wrong with his hip, whether he'd been in an accident or something, and he had a limp. And it was quite a decided limp, and so I'm sure that the Army wouldn't have known.
So were your teachers mostly men or women? That
mostly
you,
men, mostly but men. The educational classes, they rather there was women, some women in, oh yeah, and the lit class was Zabel. There's Zabel Hall up there now.
Oh, yes.
And I'll tell you something, if you just want to gossip, well, not gossip because it's a fact, but she was a lesbian.
I think I knew that.
And, yeah, well,
I think I learned that in college.
To some of the town people.
Now, well, yeah, back then.
I know that any discrimination isn't acceptable now, but I think it's really too bad when things get to the place where two women that maybe are divorced and have a child apiece, maybe, or something, and if they want to live together and try to keep things going for those kids.
Mm-hmm.
And people wonder if they're lesbians. And now that's really terrible. And then the other thing that I am appalled about is that if your daughter, now this didn't happen with my daughter, she had girls out here to beat the band, and they jumped on the bed and broke the bed down and stuff. That was a slumber party if that happened to them. But that they will not sleep in the same bed.
Oh.
Now, that is stupid.
I still sleep in the same bed. My best girlfriend comes from Boise.
What? Well, you?
Well, my best friend comes from Boise. We've been best friends for, I don't know, 25 years. We sleep in the same bed.
Well, yeah,
you know,
but you know, the girls now don't want to sleep
in
the same bed with their overnight friends. And this, you know, there's something wrong with the society that promotes that kind of an attitude in the kids. Because that was more fun than anything. If you could stay overnight with your friend or they could stay with you, then you could talk until you got so sleepy you went to sleep. And, well, you just talked about everything in the world.
Yeah.
And it was wonderful. And they've ruined all that for these kids.
Yeah.
They, gosh, I had a niece that she's going to have the friend over, and she was talking to her mother about where she was going to sleep and was so worried about this and so firm when she went into it. Why, that was what it was about, why we couldn't sleep in the same bed, Mother.
What was
she doing? And she was too little to really know the reason why you couldn't. But you couldn't.
Yeah.
That's society. And, I get kind of discouraged when I think about things like that.
I have a couple other questions about the university when you went. Were your books provided for you, or did you buy them?
We bought them.
You bought them? And how much, do you remember how much a trip to the bookstore cost?
Well, they weren't as expensive as they are now, because now I think they're up $30, $40.